going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Matt Bowen.
Two throws. This one aired out for Galloway. And with contact, it's picked off. Intercepted by Matt Bowen.
NFL writer and analyst for ESPN.
The ball came out. Right now they're calling fumble. Matt Bowen knocked it out.
Seven-year NFL veteran.
There's always going to be corrections. But if you're looking at this from an outside perspective and studying their tape without being in their quarterback meeting room, you saw visible improvement from Justin Fields.
Defensive back coach for IC Catholic football.
One of the greatest things and the most rewarding things about being a high school coach is to see the impact it can have on your student athletes.
Matt Bowen on 670 The Score.
Who better to wrap up the first round of the NFL draft than Matt Bowen, the Iowa Hawkeye, former NFL player, joining us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. We broadcast live this hour from the Score's Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Matt Bowen, thanks for joining us on this Football Friday.
What's going on? How's everyone doing?
We're doing okay. I thought it was very interesting listening to you yesterday talking about the differences between the tight ends, and it seems like this kind of late tidal wave over the last 2 to 3 weeks where everyone was like,
right,
hey, Tyler Warren's good. No one's arguing that, but Colston Loveland has and deserves a seat at the table, and he might be better, especially depending on what offensive system and how he's used. Is that how you saw it?
I do, and you have to start, Marshall, with what happened on the, you know, in front of the Bears. The top three offensive tackles are off the board, right? And that's a major part of this discussion because, you know, I think a couple weeks ago we talked about Kelvin Banks from Texas as being a good fit for Chicago and an upgrade at the left tackle position, but he's off the board at 9. So obviously you pivot and you have a different discussion. And I agree with what Ben Johnson did here because you have to look at it from an offense perspective and how he's trying to create matchups in the pass game. Colston Loveland is 6'6", 248 pounds, and a really good route runner. He's got the lower body quickness to shake press coverage. He can separate on crossers and overs. You know he can stretch the seams, and you're going to see a lot of split safety coverage. That's where he uses the tight end down the middle of the field. Good after the catch in terms of his open field vision and ball carrier vision. And if you're the Bears right now, you can do much more with your two tight end sets. When you have Cole Kmet on the field, when you have Loveland on the field, you can make it look like three wide receiver personnel. And now what you're doing to the defense is creating conflict. Are you going to stay in your base package? Are you going to bring your sub package out there? How are you going to match up to our tight end, who is a 6'6" frame, who can play like a big slot receiver down the middle of the field? And Bears fans have to understand this too. You just hired an offensive head coach. Okay, you hired an offensive head coach who's also the play caller. He's going to do whatever it takes to make sure his offense is ready to go and ready to score points this fall. And this is a move that points to that.
Matt, I completely agree. That's how I felt when I found out that they were drafting Colston Loveland. I immediately started to visualize the offense because you know what that specific need, you know exactly what's happening. And I think I did the same thing you did. I'm like, oh, great, over the middle, vertical threat. You know, you're trying to see how this takes shape. And in reality, this is a specific draft for need, not just draft best player available. It was a defined need, a defined vision, and it's also an underutilized portion of the field the Bears offense wasn't taking advantage of previously.
They were not. And that was how many times did we talk about that last season, how they weren't utilizing Cole Kmet. And look, this doesn't mean Cole Kmet is not a factor in the pass game. Cole Kmet is a different skill set. Cole Kmet is more of that tight end that's attached to the line of scrimmage. Doesn't mean he can't flex outside, but he's someone who could, you know, be a productive blocker at the point of attack. Someone who can work to underneath areas of the field that can utilize in the tight end screen game. But there are matchups you can create with him as well. And also with Loveland, you have to think about this. He's a clear out guy too. If you look at Ben Johnson's offense in Detroit, they love running the deep in-breaking concept. Well, to get that window or that scheme void in the coverage, you have to clear out down the middle of the field. When you have a tight end with that size and frame and speed working vertically, now you push the safety out. There's your window for Caleb Williams to drive the ball to Roma Dunze or DJ Moore. And that's how you be productive in this offense.
Well, I also think, too, when you're talking about a guy whose specific role is to put people in conflict, it's something that they tried to do last year, but you need more of those individuals in the RPO game. And I know that's not necessarily what we're going to see, but I feel like that might factor into all of this as well.
Yeah, I think the best way to say it, Layla, is you need more people to create conflict in general, right? And that can be down and distance, that can be game situation, that can be field position. There's so many different ways to look at this. But ultimately, you want to go into a game on Sunday when you have multiple ways to create matchups in the pass game. And that's what this league is about right now. Nothing against the run game. The Bears are going to be a balanced offense. I'm telling you, they're going to run the football. But to move the ball in the NFL and score points, teams are throwing the football right now. So how can we attack defenses? How can we force them to counter? How can we expose them in specific ways, especially with one-on-one matchup ability, and the Bears just added that.
So we've accepted what happened in round one, understanding that we have a long ways to go before this draft is over. A lot of needs to be met. Now, as we focus on day two in the second and the third round, what are you seeing for the Bears with these two early second round picks and what they should be targeting, looking at? I looked at the tackle spot, and obviously, as you said, the first three tackles went off the board before they even had a chance to pick.
Right. Well, before we get to that, Marshall, it's a great point. We do all this, you know, we talk about the draft for a long time, right? We start in January, basically. And then every year the first round comes and goes, and what happens? The premium positions go top, right? If it was a heavy quarterback class, there would have been more quarterbacks, but it's offensive line, it's pass rushers. How many defensive linemen were drafted yesterday, right? First round is always based on that premium position. That doesn't mean the Bears tonight can't look at offensive line, can't look at a pass rusher, can't look at a possible corner, right? The running back position, whether it's the second round or the third round, they got to pick in the third round too, that needs to be possibly addressed as well. So the Bears can go multiple ways tonight because you have to remember, this isn't a finished team. It's a brand new head coach. There's still multiple areas to upgrade. And I would start with the offensive line. I think that's one way you can look at it. Irsari from Minnesota, the offensive tackle. I think he's a left tackle in the pros. I think he can be a solid starter, a quality starter for you. That's someone to look at that could be there possibly when the Bears are on the clock at 39. But I also look at corner too. And I know that might not be an ultimate need, but again, you can never have too many defensive backs, especially with the new defensive coordinators who play more sub-package sets. That's a position to look at as well.
I would like to go down a dark road with you because it's what's happening tonight. These are the third round picks so far of Ryan Poles.
Oh, no.
Okay.
2022, Velus Jones Jr. 2023, Zach Pickens. 2024, Karan Amagaji. I am terrified of what the third round could bring.
It's not just Layla, it's me too. I'm terrified as well.
The last two names you mentioned, you can't close the book on yet. You know, those are still developmental players, and you don't know what their career path is going to be. It's still early, but I understand what you're saying. If you're the Bears right now with your two second-round picks and your third-round pick, you want to target players that can contribute this season. That's how I would look at it. Doesn't mean they're day-one starters. Maybe it's they start on special teams if it's a guy in the secondary and work their way into the rotation. Or maybe it's a defensive a designated pass rusher, not a first and second down player, but somebody can get in the field on third downs. But to your point, Layla, this is what, how I always look at the draft. What are you drafting for? Are you drafting for someone to contribute, or are you drafting with traits and upside that you can develop over years? And that's what the Bears have to discuss going into tonight. But I think you want to look at someone that can contribute very early, because the Bears do have needs. And the Bears need more depth. And they need more upside in terms of that depth that can play early in the season.
Well, and I think it just, they can't help what they're drafted, right? Like that's mm-hmm. the part of this. If you're saying Karan Amagaji got drafted in the fifth round, you'd say steal. If you're saying, you know, Zach Pickens, who is very much developmental, same idea, you would say steal. That's not on them. But it's just, it says more about how the previous 3 years have gone as to what they view that round to be. I'm still thinking that should be somebody who you could see starting, or at least learning how to start. And I think those three individuals are all very developmental prospects, you know, and I do save that for the later round. So that's where I'm wondering with this too, is how are they viewing that third round this year? Is it one where they want to try to reinvent the wheel again? Or is it one where they think that there's more need there?
I think it's going to be different this year because of the input of the new head coach. Because you have Ben Johnson. We just talked about it, what they did at number 10 overall. Well, I think that continues tonight. It doesn't mean it's all offensive players, but Ben Johnson obviously has a big voice in this, a big voice in the room, a lot of input into how the Bears are drafting and how they're scouting. So that's what I'm very interested to see tonight, starting at 39. If there's a running back on the board there, if there is a Travion Henderson from Ohio State, do the Bears go and get him? Do they add another offensive playmaker for Ben Johnson? And if they do, that tells you a lot about how this team is being run now, with more input from the coaching staff and a coaching staff that's putting together pieces that can help them win immediately.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today
with Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Our NFLer, Matt Bowen, now an NFL writer and analyst at ESPN, joining us here on the Midday Show. Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harrison. Matt, I'm curious to your thoughts because you mentioned offensive line and you mentioned corner. Obviously, they need to be able to get to the quarterback. So mm-hmm. I'm wondering how you're measuring. You know, they're up seventh, and we don't know what's going to happen in those six picks prior before mm-hmm. they draft. And I'm wondering how you're looking at what's left at the edge position, specifically Mike Green.
Well, Mike Green, I think, is the most skilled rusher in the draft class. Now, this is just based off a film study, right? I don't do, you know, a deep dive into prospects outside of the tape. Based on the tape, he's the most skilled rusher. In terms of pro-ready technique, counters, the ability to bend on the edge and run the arc, win with speed to power. He's got good hand usage at the point of attack. It just depends on, in terms of the physical profile Dennis Allen wants with his edge rushers. Mike Green is not your base 4-3 defensive end. He would be a designated pass rusher early in his career where he'd come in the field in third downs and try to create pocket disruption. That's a name to watch tonight. Ezeroku, the outside linebacker from Boston College, is another name to watch. I thought he was a first-round player. That's someone that slides to the top, probably the top of the second round. But, again, someone that can rush on third down and has traits. That could be the direction the Bears go very early tonight.
I also want to ask you, based on your – I thought it was a really great article. I know we talked to you about it. Your top 100 players based mm-hmm. on their traits or how a coach would see them fitting into a team – still a really good, I think, reference now, even though we've already gotten one round of the draft underway. Is there anybody who really stood out to you out of that list who maybe you were surprised either went later than you thought or hasn't gone yet?
I would probably say Will Johnson, the corner from Michigan. I know a lot of people had a first-round grade on him. You know, he did have some injuries this year, and when you have injuries, it does push you down the board. He did not run a 40, and I'm one of the first – people to say, you know, when you get to camp, your 40 time doesn't really matter anymore. You have to play football and earn a job in this league. But when you're a corner and you have to open and run and pattern match vertically down the field, NFL scouts want to see what you can run. So there could be multiple reasons to why he's slid in the draft. He's more of a forward player. What I mean by that, someone that plays off the ball, has great zone vision, is aggressive, opportunistic, makes a lot of plays in the football when he's driving downhill in the ball. So more of a zone corner. Now, that depends on how much man-to-man the Bears want to play this year, if that's a target for them. But if you're asking for one player that I really liked on tape, it was Will Johnson from Michigan.
I'm glad that Layla made that reference specifically to that article where you went through some of these traits. I'm going to give you some traits where you named a guy. Mm-hmm. Toughest quarterback, best pocket presence. Mm-hmm. Also, we have best passing mechanics and most accurate passer. That is, of course, Shedeur Sanders, yeah. Colorado. He's still there. I don't know if you are surprised that he's still there, but I am curious as to where you think, now that every team has passed on him, mm-hmm. where his fit might be on day two or beyond.
I thought Shedeur would be drafted in the first round. I did, because the what you just mentioned there, Marshall, are intangibles at the position, right? And this becomes a great discussion. What do you weigh more in your draft grade? Do you weigh the traits? You know, the arm talent, the mobility, the creativity. That's Cam Ward, right? Who has a lot of high-level traits as a thrower and a mover. Or do you weigh the intangibles that you just mentioned? The toughness, which I think is a major point of playing that position in the NFL. The poise, which you have to have to throw from the pocket. The accuracy, you know, throwing with location. That's a major part of playing that position. And Sanders has all those. Now, where does he go? Cleveland's on the clock first tonight at 33. That's going to be the starting point. Does Cleveland say we're going to draft Shedeur tonight at 33? If not, you start to go down. What about New Orleans at number 40? And Kellen Moore taking over a new football team. Derek Carr has now a shoulder injury that is being discussed, as it could keep him out for the entire football season. So I look at those two teams in terms of needing a quarterback and needing depth at position, which would be good landing spots for him.
And the only reason I said that is because he's still there, one. But also, at this point, would you view him as a steal for any of these teams who get a second or third crack at him?
I think anytime you get a quarterback that slides, you can be in a very good spot as a football team. A very good spot. I don't know if Sanders is a day one starter in the league, but again, he has the intangibles to develop into a starter. And if you can get him later in the draft and give him more time to develop now, then you could put yourself in a very favorable position, whether a year or 2 years from now, where he is your number one and can play the position exactly how you want it, throwing from the pocket in the NFL.
This segment is sponsored by Webb Hyundai in Highland and Merrillville, Indiana. And Matt, I also want to ask you about this. Do you know about the groupthink and some of the things that NFL offices and front offices will say when it comes to stereotyping somebody or developing an opinion on somebody? Mm-hmm. There's all these reasons why somebody's draft stock may slide. You're the one who's playing with them on the field day in and day out, you know, during the season. Mm-hmm. What do you make of just that piece of it, where sometimes the groupthink will seep in and cause somebody to drop in a way that is not indicative of what he's going to be for a team?
Right. I don't think it's good for the player. I don't think it's good for the league. I don't. It happens every year, especially in our business, right? Where you get a quote, and it's usually from an anonymous source, and that quote takes off. And then it makes its way into front offices in the NFL. I don't like it at all. I don't, because ultimately you're hurting a player's chance. You're hurting their opportunity. That's what the draft is about. You know, a lot of people say it's a life-changing moment. I think it's a life-changing opportunity. I think it's the way I would describe it. Because there's only so many people in this world that get to play NFL football. You're one of the best players in the world when you get to that league. And when your opportunity is lessened, I really don't like it as a former player. I don't. You know, these are young men going into professional football. Give them an opportunity to prove themselves when they get to camp, when they get to that facility, and to play at a productive level so they can help your team win, but also build a career, because it doesn't last forever.
Well, and I just appreciate even how you looked at it previously, where even through the lens of the story you wrote that we've referenced, there's always an opportunity there for a coach to see something in somebody. And I mm-hmm. wonder if how many times that criticism will hurt somebody's career in ways that we don't necessarily know.
It does, but there's always a way to correct it. And the way to correct it is the football field, right? Because once you're on that football field, all that, the scouting stuff, it not that it doesn't matter. It does, because that's in terms of your traits and your skill set, your ability to be an explosive mover. That stuff matters in how you play the game, but ultimately you're judged on that field of play. That's how you are judged in this league, on that field of play. Starts in mini camp and OTAs, but it really starts in training camp when you get into the fall. That's how you prove yourself in this league. I've always said, and I've talked to a lot of players since my time in the league, and I always tell them, the advice I give them is, you know, if you're not drafted where you want to be, you can earn it all back by what you do on the field. You can earn it back and get a second contract, get a third contract. You have those opportunities in front of you. It doesn't matter where you're drafted. You have those opportunities in front of you. And no smart football coach or smart GM is not going to see it when it's happening right in front of them on the football field.
Amen. Matt Bowen, we appreciate not only your perspective and your knowledge, but your motivation as well.
Thanks, Matt.
All right. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Coach Bowen. That was Matt Bowen. Really coaching us up today.
The ministry of Matt Bowen, if you will.
He's good at it, man. He lifts people up. That's what coaches do.
I can see why he is a head football coach.
Yeah. Well, and position coach, too. I mean, just, you know, Icy Catholic getting a good one, that's for sure. That was Matt Bowen. We love to talk to him. He was happy enough to talk to us today on this Draft Friday on the Score.